Thomas found a tree in the Deadheads, one of the nicer ones on the edge of the forest with plenty of shade. He dreaded going back to work with Winston the butcher and knew he needed to eat lunch, but he didn't want to be near anybody for as long as he could get away with it. Leaning back against the thick trunk, he wished for a breeze but didn't get one. He'd just felt his eyelids droop when Chuck ruined the peace and quiet.
"Thomas! Thomas!"
the boy shrieked as he ran toward him, pumping his arms, his face lit up with excitement. Thomas rubbed his eyes and groaned. He wanted nothing in the world more than a half-hour nap. It wasn't until Chuck stopped right in front of him, panting to catch his breath, that he finally looked up. "What?" Words slowly fell from Chuck, in between his gasps for breath.
"Ben! Ben! He isn't dead!"
All signs of fatigue catapulted out of Thomas's system. He jumped up to stand nose to nose with Chuck.
"What? He isn't dead. Baggers went to get him. Arrow missed his brain. Medjacks patched him up."
Thomas turned away to stare into the forest where the sick boy had attacked him just the night before.
"You gotta be kidding. I saw him."
He wasn't dead? Thomas didn't know what he felt most strongly. Confusion, relief, fear that he'd be attacked again.
"Well, so did I," Chuck said. "He's locked up in the slammer, a huge bandage covering half his head."
Thomas spun to face Chuck again.
"The slammer?
What do you mean?"
"The slammer. It's our jail on the north side of the homestead."
Chuck pointed in that direction.
"They threw him in it so fast, the medjacks had to patch him up in there."
Thomas rubbed his eyes. Guilt consumed him when he realized how he truly felt. He'd been relieved that Ben was dead, that he didn't have to worry about facing him again.
"So what are they going to do with him?" "Already had a gathering of the keepers this morning. Made a unanimous decision by the sounds of it. Looks like Ben'll be wishing that arrow had found a home inside his shuck brain after all."
Thomas squinted, confused by what Chuck had said.
"What are you talking about?" "He's being banished tonight for trying to kill you."
"Banished? What does that mean?" Thomas had to ask, though he knew it couldn't be good if Chuck thought it was worse than being dead. And then Thomas saw perhaps the most disturbing thing he'd seen since he'd arrived at the glade. Chuck didn't answer. He only smiled. Smiled, despite it all. Despite the sinister sound of what he'd just announced. Then he turned and ran, maybe to tell someone else the exciting news. That night, Newt and Albie gathered every last glader at the east door about a half hour before it closed, the first traces of twilight's dimness creeping across the sky. The runners had just returned and entered the mysterious map room, clanging the iron door shut. Min-ho had already gone in earlier. Albie told the runners to hurry about their business. He wanted them back out in 20 minutes. It still bothered Thomas how Chuck had smiled when breaking the news about Ben being banished. Though he didn't know exactly what it meant, it certainly didn't sound like a good thing, especially since they were all standing so close to the maze. Are they going to put him out there? He wondered. With the Grievers? The other gladers murmured their conversations in hushed tones, an intense feeling of dreadful anticipation hanging over them like a patch of thick fog. But Thomas said nothing, standing with arms folded, waiting for the show. He stood quietly until the runners finally came out of their building, all of them looking exhausted, their faces pinched from deep thinking. Min-ho had been the first to exit, which made Thomas wonder if he was the keeper of the runners.
"Bring him out!"
Albie shouted, startling Thomas out of his thoughts. His arms fell to his sides as he turned, looking around the glade for a sign of Ben, trepidation building within him as he wondered what the boy would do when he saw him. From around the far side of the homestead, three of the bigger boys appeared, literally dragging Ben along the ground. His clothes were tattered, barely hanging on. A bloody, thick bandage covered half his head and face. Refusing to put his feet down or help the progress in any way, he seemed as dead as the last time Thomas had seen him. Except for one thing. His eyes were open, and they were wide with terror.
"Newt," Albie said in a much quieter voice.
Thomas wouldn't have heard him if he hadn't been standing just a few feet away.
Bring out the pole.
Newt nodded, already on the move toward a small tool shed used for the gardens. He'd clearly been waiting for the order. Thomas turned his focus back to Ben and the guards. The pale, miserable boy still made no effort to resist, letting them drag him across the dusty stone of the courtyard. When they reached the crowd, they pulled Ben to his feet in front of Albi, their leader, where Ben hung his head, refusing to make eye contact with anyone.
You brought this on yourself, Ben, Albi said.
Then he shook his head and looked toward the shack to which Newt had gone. Thomas followed his gaze just in time to see Newt walk through the slanted door. He was holding several aluminum poles, connecting the ends to make a shaft maybe 20 feet long. When he was finished, he grabbed something odd-shaped on one of the ends and dragged the whole thing along toward the group. A shiver ran up Thomas's spine at the metallic scrape of the pole on the stone ground as Newt walked. Thomas was horrified by the whole affair. He couldn't help feeling responsible, even though he'd never done anything to provoke Ben. How was any of this his fault? No answer came to him, but he felt the guilt all the same, like a disease in his blood. Finally, Newt stepped up to Albi and handed over the end of the pole he was holding. Thomas could see the strange attachment now, a loop of rough leather fastened to the metal with a massive staple. A large button snap revealed that the loop could be opened and closed, and its purpose became obvious. It was a collar.